All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
How long have we been rolling?
I don't know, a minute or two.
We've been hanging out.
We were talking about the Wild West and what happens at Jimmy Red's house, but
it's always something happened in there.
I guarantee you. And generally, police are involved, and it's always the same story. Yeah. But I didn't do it.
The best one I like was the energy people show up, and they stopped outside his joint there, and they're looking at a telephone pole with a transformer on. And there are some jumper cables running from the transformer down to the trailer.
Red done figured out how to steal electricity. Now imagine the set it takes to hook jumper cables up to a transformer.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Like that's one move, and you look like that squirrel.
Yeah. If you do it wrong, it's and you're gone.
Yeah. But he figured it's cheaper than paying for it.
The craziest thing, our special guest today, who hadn't been introduced yet, he will chainsaw and flip-flops, but that's as wild as he gets. But you want to introduce a special guest?
No, it's your dad.
Hey, Big Dave's in the house, everybody. Hey, Dad.
Hey. I'm almost everything in flip-flops.
That is true. He's a flip-flop man.
Well, you got to be comfortable.
Right.
If you go out to work, you might as well be comfortable doing it.
I got a pair of them. What kind of shorts are those?
Honey hole.
Yeah. Well, they're honey hole shorts, but they're kind of that slicky material. You know?
Oh yeah. Athletic shorts.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You can't get the muffler of a chainsaw too close to those.
Oh,
no, it melts.
They're flammable.
It melts.
Yeah, it'll burn. It just kind of disappears.
They melt. And then the next thing you know, you go, ah.
Yeah.
And you can't, this is stuff that sticks to you. So you don't want to try to tear it off.
Yeah. Well, they got a pair of drawers built into them.
Yeah.
So it protected everything important.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm so
happy. At least that's good.
Yeah.
Everybody's finding out my dad's way manlier than me. He chainsawed something down in shorts and then melted the shorts off of his person.
Well, let me tell you something.
Oh, they melted onto the chainsaw.
Oh,
there you go.
Ooh.
Well, your dad, Si, my dad, they all from that same generation. My dad used to weld shirtless. Shirtless.
Oh, no.
Welding shirtless. Little hot beads of melted metal falling all over him. He never said a word. He just kept that hood on.
Yeah.
You won't talk about tough, bud.
And hey, and it's her chest.
Yeah.
And I'm watching just.
I mean.
He's still just.
Just welding shirtless.
Welding shirtless.
I'll tell you that this generation here way tougher than us.
Oh,
but we were raised by the greatest generation.
Absolutely.
And it's
pretty watered down by the time it got to us, unfortunately.
I was raised by him. I'm a little tough.
You the weak one there.
Yeah, we pretty much watered down. We're gonna have to have another great generation come through. Which maybe as parents, maybe we'll be that. But it's a wild deal.
But you know what's cool about my dad? He's a world Vietnam traveler like Si. Because you were born in Germany, probably while Si was there.
May have been. 72 was my first tour over.
No, 72?
No, you ain't that.
I'm a little older than that.
But your dad was in Vietnam.
Yeah. Right?
And so there's all the connections here.
What's wild about that, Vietnam is a gorgeous country. The countryside is beautiful.
Oh, when my dad came back from Vietnam, he had the best tan I ever seen.
Best tan?
No.
He was stationed right there on the South China Sea, on the beach.
No. My mama, I sent her a picture, and I ain't got my shirt on because it's like 110 degrees. And she said, when's the last time you took a bath? You look like you got mud on. Because I was about to color them antlers on that deer.
It's a good place to get a tan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's good for tan. But, hey, what amazed me about it, people said they don't believe in the flood.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go to Vietnam during the monsoon season. Okay? And once it rains, and you see how hard it can rain, you'll believe in the flood. Because, hey, we got a company. They're standing, and we can see the black clouds coming. And everybody's saying, man, I hope he hurries up the long-winded sucker or we fix to get just drowned. And hey, about that time it hits And look, I'm standing about, oh, maybe 30 yards from them in this, you know, bleachers sitting. And when it starts, the whole company disappears because there's just a wall of water.
How fast do you get out of there?
Oh, no, it didn't. No, yeah, you think it went. I just got, hey, no. Yo, I was drowning in 2 seconds. Yeah. Okay, I'm soaked.
Soaked, didn't matter,
did it? Soaked, 2 seconds, okay? But, hey, good thing is, hey, right, it's over. Hey, you're drying 10 minutes.
Drying 10 minutes.
Yo, here comes the sun. You're dry. Yeah, you ain't wet anymore.
Boy, that man Boudreaux could have made a lot of money if he was around back in.
But, hey, I'm telling you, when it rains there, oh, you talking about rain, okay.
How long was your dad in Vietnam, Dad?
He's there for a year.
Year?
Yeah. No, it's 12 months. Yeah.
12 months is how that's how long you were there?
Oh, no.
But granddaddy's way older than you.
Oh, no. Look, I met a guy that was over there for 11 years. He done 11 tours. And I said, dude, you've done your share and 40 more people's share, so hey, go home. Yeah. He said, oh, no. He said, I was here the first day it started. He said, I'm going to stay with it till we finish it.
Huh. That's crazy to think about. I think I'd have got out of there if I could have. But.
That's what most people don't realize about our military, okay? And I couldn't give you the years. You know, if you was in the military during the Iraq, Afghanistan period, okay, and that's what, been 15 years probably? Well, you may have done 15 tours in a combat zone because, hey, they take you out of Iraq. Well, hey, Afghanistan's hot. Send you to Afghanistan, you know, and vice versa. So we had guys that, you know, hey, they spent their 15 years out of their career. If they'd done it 20 years, they fitting 15 of it in a combat zone.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
No, and then it's like, oh, what's your problem? Well, hey, you try 15 years of combat, dude, and then come see me.
Yeah, you try living where you didn't know who's shooting at you or if they're shooting at you.
And back then, some of the time, talking about, you know, I'm glad I never was involved in it because, hey, if somebody shoots at me, I ain't calling nobody. I fixed to empty a 30-round clip in his direction. Okay, I ain't getting permission. Yeah, I ain't getting permission. When he shot at me, I had my permission.
Rules of engagement.
Yeah, rules of engagement.
That's standard procedure.
Oh, no. It was just idiotic, you know.
But, yeah, the military life is a wild one, and you were a kid for that, right? How many places did you live growing up?
A bunch.
I've had...
Yeah. Yeah.
More than two?
Not ever 2 years.
Yeah, you got them.
Three at the most, okay.
What was your favorite place?
Lived in Fort Benning, Georgia. That was a pretty cool place.
Hey, that's where I took basic.
They had paratroopers there. There was people jumping out of the sky.
Oh, no. Hey, there was one rule at Fort Benning, Georgia. You didn't walk anywhere. It was... You ran.
Right.
Look, my drill sergeant, I could have took a bath in his Smokey the Bear hat.
It was his dad.
No, hey, look, this dude was 450, 6'8".
Big oaf.
Big oaf, baby. Okay, and look, you had to respect the guy because, hey, we ran it. Hey, I'm weighing in like 125 if they went me down, okay? And we run everywhere we went, and I said, hey, big post. We would run out to the rifle range. That's like 5 miles. We'd run to the rifle range. Yeah. You know, try to shoot and hit something after you've been running for 5 miles.
You know, I can't run 5 miles, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so, hey, he ran with us. So, hey.
Big Oaf did?
Yeah. He ran every step we ran.
Scary man.
That's a good leader.
Hey, look, when he showed up, we're looking, and here comes a cab. And look, it's this way. And there's metal sparks flying off of this thing coming toward us. Okay, I'm talking about, you would think the car had a grinder on it coming in.
I'm just glad I'm not the only one that does that to small cars.
No, I'm serious. Look, when he got out, this thing rose like 2 foot. When he stepped out of it, it bounced 2 foot up in the air. Yeah, and we looked and we said, surely that's not our new drill sergeant.
And it was?
Everybody said, oh, yeah, that's him.
Yikes.
You know, and hey, guess what? He liked me. Bad move.
He didn't like you?
No. He liked me. Okay. So, hey, he would get in my face and put his nose on my nose. Okay. And start talking. Mate, get in and give me 25. Well, I get tickled. I couldn't help it. I was laughing. The last day I'm graduating, I'm in dress greens. He put his nose on me. I busted out laughing. 350 push-ups later, I finally got the smile off of my face. I couldn't laugh no more. I said, I can't handle it no more. Do not laugh, you idiot, because he's going to keep doing it to you.
Oh, that's good stuff. I got big news, Martin.
I ain't reading this.
Martin, I have big news.
I know what the news is, and I'm still bitter.
We're not on this.
I know we're not on. Look,
we were not nominated for a Clove Award, as expected. And
I
but Sadie was.
They got one beard on the whole thing.
And I don't. Well, that's good. I said this to my wife and said we weren't nominated, and she said, "Oh, I listened to three of those
for real."
And I said, "Do you listen to ours?" And she said, "No."
No. Well, good thing we're
but
not.
But she listens to Sadie.
We are team players at the end of the day, no matter how bad our feelings are hurt. And so we think that you should go vote at klovefanawards.com for Sadie, and whoa, that's good. Then you scroll on to the movie category.
Then you go and vote.
Film Impact, The Blind is nominated, Martin.
Okay. So I guess technically Cy could win because there was a lot of the movie about Cy in The Blind. So, yeah, be sure to vote for The Blind while you're there as well on klovefanawards.com.
That's it.
You're not on the cover or the back of the thing, Cy, but...
I ain't worried about it.
You were still my favorite part of the movie.
I ain't worried about it.
Okay. If you love Cy Robertson, go vote.
That's it.
Voting ends May 24th at 6 p.m. Central. All you have to do is go to klovefanawards.com to vote for The Blind. And whoa, that's good. That's klovefanawards.com. Yeah. 350.
I'm talking about all the way down, all the way up.
Do you spill your tea?
That was the best shape I've ever been in base training.
Meanwhile, Big Dave was just running around the fort playground while you were getting
watching people jump out of the air.
Y'all might have been
every
there.
Afternoon. People falling out of the sky.
Oh no! We went to me and the buddies. So we got bored. Told me, "Hey, let's go airborne." So we went to a demonstration. Hey, chopper goes up and he sees it up there and it looked like a mosquito. It's so high. Well, the first guy out, his chute opens, then collapses and is doing this. Well, he cuts it loose, okay, opens his secondary chute.
Huh?
It pops open, closes, and hey. right in where in front of our stands.
You saw that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and so did a bunch of high school seniors. And I looked at him, he looked at me, and I said, "I ain't going." Hey, forget about going airborne, dude. Let's go back to the unit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ain't no sense jumping out of a perfect
No, area. Yeah.
So you watched a man.
Hey, didn't open. He our both shoes folded on him, and hey, he hit the ground.
Well, thank you to our military
families. Oh, no.
I didn't either.
Look.
It really rang home as hard as he hit that table right here beside me.
You get used to it sitting over there.
My favorite duty station was Fort Bragg, North Carolina. That's the home of the 82nd Airborne.
Uh-huh.
Now, look, they're crazy as bed bugs, all of them, okay? But they are good at what they do.
Did you ever live there?
And look, hey, they are ready at a heartbeat. All you ever heard from them when we was on the post was, "I wish somebody would start a war somewhere." No, I'm serious, because, hey, they trained for it, and, son, they were good at what they done.
Well,
I'm glad we have those people.
Oh yeah,
been on our side.
Amen.
I didn't know we were going here, but
we just got talking about.
Hey, I love it.
It is a good shout out to our military families because it not only affects the people like Cy, my granddaddy who served, but their kids like my dad and all the people moving all over. So thank you if you're part of that. You do what you do, so we can sit here and
opine
that's why
about
I always talk about the greater generation. You got to think about this, guys. That was back when industries. Most of the people that lived on this earth then was farmers, just farm boys, okay? World War II broke out, and hey, they all went to the, where your recruiting station, okay, and signed up. They got on ships, anything that would float, and went across the pond to Germany to fight Hitler and his bunch of people, okay? That's why they're the greatest generation. They would give you the shirt off their backs. A person in uniform could hitchhike the United States and make good time back then.
Mm-hmm.
Because, hey, once they faced the car, stop and let him out, the next car would stop and pick him up, take him the rest of the way. Yeah. That's, you know, they were the greatest generation because they was number one, they was men. That was back in the day when men were men, son. And when I say men, they wasn't scared of nothing and they took care of business.
I met my granddaddy. He was a man.
Oh, no. No, no.
Would you agree, Dad?
Yeah.
Well, no. It was a different time, okay? Because growing up in the neighborhood, you got to think about this. Hey, you started cutting up and acting a fool? Well, hey, the next door neighbor would take his belt off and blister your behind. And the first thing you do is take you down to your house and tell your dad why he did it. And then your dad would take his belt off and poop your butt again.
Yeah. It came in pairs.
Yeah. No.
Sometimes threefold.
No.
Sometimes a trifecta. Huh?
Yeah. You know, it was a different time and a different perspective. Everything was different.
Yeah. Okay. If somebody else's parents told your parents that you did something,
yeah,
you did it whether you did it or not.
And you're going to get your butt.
You were guilty.
Yeah.
And there was no innocent.
No. My family, okay, something happened. Okay, and if you wasn't man up and admitted you did it, well, then the whole bunch got whooped.
I remember that.
They was going to get the guilty person. And then it was okay, now you got me a whooping, and I didn't do it, so, hey, we're fixing to jump on you and beat you up again. So but I look back on when people said, if you could go back and have a time machine, where do you go? Oh, hey. That's a no-brainer. I go back to my childhood. It was the greatest time of my life. Okay? Mom and Dad took care of all the trouble. You know, they had all the worries. All I had to do was have fun. Yeah.
Yeah. He's outside hot, got thirsty. You just went up to the house and drank out of the water hose.
Yeah. And it was what we call hard water. You know, it wasn't sweet water. This was hard water.
Tasted like the sulfur from the well.
Oh, yeah. No.
I like water hose water. Yeah. There's something
but it was,
in that
it
hose.
Was just great growing up in that time. Yeah, because like all the stupid stuff that you see nowadays.
We got him going.
No, yeah.
You get him going too.
Well, no, it was just, you know, we would go, people that was we call rich. You know, if you had a, was in high school and had a car or a truck, you was a rich person. Well, they'd drive up with a shotgun in the back because guess what we're going to do once we get out of school? We're going hunting.
Yeah, every truck had a gun rack.
Yeah, we're going hunting. Yeah. What did you do yesterday afternoon? I killed 12 squirrels. And they said, wait a minute, they have an eight limit. I said, I know that. I killed four over. But no, it was, you know.
They had gun racks in the truck when you, because you're what? You're 14 years younger than Si, 13, somewhere in there.
I don't know how old Si is. So
75.
12.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, it was a different time.
Yeah. And you could leave your gun in the gun rack in the truck and the window down.
Hey, yeah, the window's down. It's summer. You know, it's hot. Look at the windows roll down. There's a 12-gauge shotgun in the rack.
Ain't nobody messing with it.
Ain't nobody messing with it.
No, because everybody had one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a difference.
It was just a different time.
Everybody had one.
Okay, and I look at it, there was more appreciation, okay, and there was more respect.
More appreciation and you had less, but you appreciated what you had more.
Well, no, because we didn't have nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
We got them going, Martin.
Well, no, it was just, y'all, and look.
When did you start working, Si? What age?
12 years old.
Well, my dad told me to get a job when I was 12, but they wouldn't hire you till you were 16.
Well,
so he gave me a job to do till I got 16.
Yeah. No. Hey, I'm in bed asleep. Tommy and Phil normally haul hay in the summertime, but that year they was like 16 and 18, okay? And Daddy worked in the oil field, and he had a job for them. So now they're making big dollars, you know, not 50 cents an hour, you know, hauling hay. So I'm in there asleep, you know, knock on the door, and this Jim, a farmer, you know, he said, hey, where's Tommy and Phil, you know? And he said, oh, he's working for his dad, you know? He said, oh, man, I'm in trouble. I got to have somebody to work with me, you know? And she said, well, you know, and he said, who else you got, you know? She said, sorry, but he ain't 12, you know? He said, Miss Robertson, I promise you I'll take care of him. He won't get hurt, all that, you know? You know, I'll take care of him, just like he's my own son, you know? And she said, come in there, woke me up, said, you want to go to work? I said, yeah. You know, so I got dressed, went, you know, and hey, we had an old International, he did. Put it in first gear, and it was, he's throwing bales of hay up on the stupid thing. We'd get it full, get up there, and then I'd stack it, and he'd help me, you know. He'd hand it to me, and I'd put it, stack it in place. And from 12, you know, first time I got my paycheck, guess what? Mama took it and said, I went, what are you doing? She said, school clothes. It costs money. You're a man now, so, hey, you're going to learn, hey, you know. And I went, you know, what are you talking about? That's my first check. Hey, she said, I know it. It's going to be school clothes. You know, so it, you know.
Different times. I will say, Big Dave charged me to use his tractor. I had to, I got paid, and I had to give him part of
it. Well, no, no.
Hey, rent's rent.
Yeah.
That's a good move.
His tractor.
Yeah.
Well, no, no. Did it hurt you?
No.
Mm-mm.
Did it give you appreciation for what you've got?
When that tractor wouldn't start, I would be so nervous because I said, Dad's going to, I'm going to get in trouble
get
for,
the blame for
messing up this tractor.
Yeah, I'm going
to
get
I learned to take care of stuff by that too, because I was using stuff that wasn't mine. But yeah, y'all grew up in a different era for sure.
And I can appreciate it. Let's take a break. And we'll get into some more of those.
We'll get into more work story. My dad's got a good work story. Okay, so, you know, my dad is here, and my boss used to... Will he technically work for you or with you?
With me.
With, oh, dang.
We worked in the cabinet shop. Mac, my brother, your uncle.
He's been on before.
Yeah. He was... It was his cabinet shop. We worked together. Well...
He worked with Willie.
Willie was there. hey, you know, I said, I've had to apologize to him because I told him, I said, man, when you were out there working, I said, that cat ain't ever going to mount to nothing. I can admit when I'm wrong.
Well, no, no.
Hey, he rallied.
Yeah,
he rallied.
Yeah.
But given the clues you were given at the time, your assessment was probably correct. So,
yeah, the only time I ever felt bad, we were building a boathouse on Candy Lake, and I was up in the rafters with a nail gun, and Willie was kind of the gopher. He was going to get stuff.
He's bringing you stuff, man.
Yeah, I had that safety pull back and like, I didn't think I'd ever hit him, but when I did, I felt bad for a little bit.
You shot Willie with a nail gun?
It's a long ways away. It didn't hurt.
Hey, long ways. Hey, y'all did was stick him a little bit.
He was out of range.
Yeah.
My nail gun ain't got a barrel on it. It was probably tumbling by the time it got there.
Trust me when I tell you, Willie was used to that, okay? Because we had BB gun wars, all this stuff. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And you act like if Willie hadn't had the nail gun, he wouldn't have done the same thing.
He wasn't allowed to have a nail gun.
So
we pulled rank on that one.
Yeah.
But there is a story that you were there for.
Well, same place. The same place. A lot on Candy Lake. We're building a house. We're setting poles, you know, and we got tractor down there with an auger on it. And the old ground was hard. So Ronnie Kroll's on the tractor. We're back there keeping it straight. And Willie's only job is clean out the hole. The hole's been dug. Just get the loose dirt out.
Easy.
So he's, you know how we get that post though. You kind of throw them.
Oh yeah, yeah. Where you stick it.
And, and you're bobbing your head.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Willie throwed, bobbed, root, boom, in the head. Yeah.
In the head.
Well, we didn't know that. So I turn around and Willie's kind of rolling around on the, it's hot, sweaty. He's rolling around on the ground. And I'm thinking, lazy sucker, get up, do something.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, so then, when we determined that he legitimately was hurt, we were like, there may have been a little moment of sadness, but not long. We said, okay, who wants to go get lunch?
I bet he got up in.
Nah.
Oh, really?
That's when we knew he was
That's down. When you knew he was
down. Got a pile of lumber over there. He went over and laid on the pile of lumber. Well, we're at Jackson Parish. We're going to make the day. We ain't coming back from a headache.
Oh, yeah.
So.
It's a long drive for him.
He lays on the rest of the day. He's laid up on the pile of lumber. I think I don't remember who ended up cleaning out the holes anyway. So we're setting post.
One of y'all.
Yeah. So we're getting back home.
Yeah, it wasn't him.
And Willie's riding with Mac. They're in a truck in front of us. And we're hauling it down 34 there. And Mac pulls off. I said, what are they doing? Well, Mac pulls off in the driveway of that A-frame church down there on 34.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Willie barrels out. He's got a shirt tied around his head, no shirt on, shorts. And he just starts losing his groceries, you know, all over the place.
He's just puking everywhere?
Yeah. Look up. There's a bunch of women having a ladies' day at that church. Dinner on the ground.
Dinner was on the ground.
Dinner on the ground there and there. And, you know, I know they're probably all thinking, that punk's drunk. He's out of there.
Oh, yeah, so. Yeah.
He had a concussion.
Yeah. Well, we didn't find that out till later. Yeah. So we were guiltless. So we thought he was just being willy.
No, I borrowed Mac's truck one time. I was moving. Okay. And I don't even remember what it was, one of the big ones. So I went to the, you know, after I borrowed it and moved everything, I went to fill it up, you know, and I had to stop and look, you know, cause I filled it up this time, you know, $50, $60, $70, and I'm going. I stopped, looked, told me, I was looking for a leak. I'm talking about good grief.
That's what gas was, $1.25.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, $50
a
get.
Oh,
you.
No, but it was a dual tank.
And you done run that sucker dry.
And I'd run it, and I just, you know, I told Mac, I said, hey, you need to check your gas tank. And he said, why? I said, I put like $75 in there. And he said, you didn't have to fill both tanks up? And I went, both tanks?
But I'm glad you did.
Yeah. I said, hey, no, I borrowed your truck. I said, I don't mind you doing that.
Mac always had a bunch of good stuff, so it was always good to take care of Mac's stuff when you borrowed it.
No.
He had other stuff you wanted to borrow.
No, because, hey, look, yeah. I ain't gonna borrow anybody's vehicle and then bring it back to him and ain't no gas in it.
I borrowed it.
It's going to be full.
Back at old backhoe years ago.
Oh, yeah.
It had tires on them that you could see the air through them in the front. So I borrowed it, and while I had it,
it blew
both,
a tire.
Both tires blew out.
Oh, yeah.
I had to buy two. So he'd come back, had brand new tires.
Yeah.
That's a good move.
And you didn't even have to do that because you brothered in on that deal. That's something that generally happens to us that outside of it, we'll never use that rubber tire hoe again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mac had equipment.
Oh, well, Mac had stuff.
He still got stuff.
Oh. He's got stuff scattered from Louisiana to Colorado now. So, like, if you get in a bind somewhere, you call Mac. Odds are he knows somebody.
Yeah. He got something somewhere.
He knows somebody somewhere that's got something you can use to get you out of a bind. That's just the way.
And to put it in perspective, how much stuff he had, you know, his whole shop burned down one time and he lost all his stuff.
Yeah.
But now he's got more stuff than that.
He's a stuff man.
He is a stuff man.
Good stuff too.
Biscuit pans. He had them.
We got the recipe.
Mm-hmm. He's a good carpenter and he's a good cook.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could always see him cringe every time he got in a duck blind that Phil built.
Speaking of cooks,
because it was not up to his snuff.
I laughed about that because
Matt get in there and get to looking at him.
In his life.
Owen's got a perfection thing about him.
Oh no. That's what I'm saying. Hey, he's a professional cabinet maker, people.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so hey, it's got to be right. Okay.
But speaking of cooking, because we all do it, right? My dad is a what I would call an expert on the outdoor kitchen area, and he just keeps adding things to it. But Dad, if you were to cook a steak, asked you.
Mm.
To cook it medium plus, what would that mean?
You burn it.
I knew that one wouldn't go in well for you.
No. I ain't worried about it, okay?
He's made up his own terms.
Okay, because look, you know, you know, there's the people that wait on you in a restaurant ask you, how you want your steak, sir? Most people say medium rare, okay? That's when they cut into it, okay? All it is it's browned on the outside just a little bit, and it's raw, okay? You know, because that's what they wanted, okay? I always tell them, okay, light pink in the center, and I don't care if it's 3 inches thick or 10 inches thick. I want the middle of it light pink.
Well, you need to get a sous vide steak.
Ooh.
A what?
Big day fancy.
Sous vide.
Sous vide?
Yeah.
See, everybody's got their own way of...
See, that's what happens to me at every Father's Day, Christmas. My kids all give me something to cook with.
Yeah. So we can eat.
And then they're coming over for supper.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just because they're going to be there every Sunday.
Yeah.
Amen. Regardless. Yeah. Every Sunday, regardless. Yeah.
So they get me this sous vide thing, and I look at it, I said, what? It looks kind of like a dribble tool or something. You know, it's just, what am I going to do with this?
It's a temperature gauge is what...
You put it in a big pan of water, and you heat the water up, and you put your meat in there, so it cooks it all to the...
Perfect.
Like if you want it medium plus,
yeah,
that'd probably be about 145 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So you cook it all the way through to 145, and then when you take it out, it don't look like it's done. You take it on a grill, and you get that grill up to about 700.
Sear it on. See, that's what I do. That's what I do right now with the filet mignon, 8 ounce filet mignon.
8 ounce.
I actually sear it on all sides. I actually do it like it's a round chunk of meat, 8 ounces. You know, I turn it sideways, okay, like it's, when it's laying on a plate, you know, it's flat. I pick it up, turn it sideways, I do one side, flip it, do the other side, do this, the end that you didn't do, turn it over, do the end, and then I do the, lay it flat. And the trick to it is, you cook it 2 minutes on medium.
Medium heat.
Medium heat.
It's the same everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. You cook it two
That's
minutes.
Medium plus.
And then, hey, when you eat it, you cut it in the middle, it's light pink, it's juice running everywhere.
Medium plus.
Medium plus.
Medium plus is because you stand it up, right? That's the plus.
There it is.
If just regular medium would have been.
Yeah, yeah. Just on but one side. One side, the other side. I cook it. I actually sear it.
Here we go.
Locking all the juice in.
Lock them all in.
Okay. And then when you cut it, it's light pink. Yo, and like these things are usually anywhere from like about 4 to 2.5 inches thick. And hey, when you cut it, it'll melt in your mouth. It's juicy. Okay.
4 inch thick. That's about $50.
Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah. They're expensive, but hey.
Can't hide money.
It's fine.
So you can take the whole filet, right? Don't cut it.
No, yeah.
Put it in a big bag, season it all up, inject it with something.
Yeah.
Sous vide it for about 3 hours, and then get that green egg, get it wet, about 700 degrees.
Yeah.
You take
that
it out.
That green egg is dangerous.
It burned all the hair off you.
I was just fixing that because, hey, that's dangerous.
I caught a ribeye on fire on it one time.
Oh yeah.
Put it,
he's got two of them.
No.
Dueling temperature.
I wouldn't have a green egg.
Yeah, you got to burp them thing.
Yeah, because when you open it, if you open it when it's been sitting there and got hot, you like tell me.
That's why your beard's been uneven all these years.
Yeah,
it'll make it cat like quick though. Cause
Yeah.
Been there. All right. Well, let's take another break. We'll be back right after this. So, Big Dave, look, you're a legend around here.
A local fishing legend.
Your son always says you deep fry a pork tenderloin. How do you do this?
Oh.
I'm legitimately curious. You just drop the whole thing in a thing of peanut oil or like?
Yeah. You know, you need one of them Cajun cookers.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get sponsored by R&V Works.
Hey, yeah. Maybe. If not, we can just come buy one from the Honey Hill.
No, we don't sell
them. Them no more.
Oh, never mind.
They're big. They're big. We can't.
They're big time.
You've been in there.
Oh, yeah. He ain't got enough room no more. Yeah.
You take that pork loin, cut it in half.
Uh-huh.
Just rub it down with whatever you like, Tony's, whatever kind of seasoning you like, a lot of black pepper. And then you get that grease up to about 350 degrees. just drop both halves. You cut it in half because the whole thing won't fit in the cooker.
You ever heard of such?
Hey, and then. I think
Stone does it that way. He's told me I hadn't ate one yet.
Let the grease get down to about 300.
Yeah.
And just keep it at about 300, about 10 minutes a pound.
Really?
Man. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, I always see pictures of it. He can
deep fry anything.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I just had to know.
I didn't tell you.
Well, deep frying, that's like, oh, you're a good cook. I said, no, I just fried it.
Yeah.
If you fry it, it's good.
You know he's the luckiest man alive, too. I always thought Willie was, and then I was second.
Well, you got to be careful with that, though. Huh? That's like when you're cooking a whole turkey in hot grease. Because you got to be, you got to be careful when you're fooling with.
Oh, you got to know what you're doing.
He just won another fryer.
Yeah. On what?
One, at some men's night. He went to a church thing, and they were like, hey, thanks for coming. Here's a double basket deep fryer.
Oh, yeah.
He's living right.
That's you put that out.
On his back porch, there's two big green eggs and two deep fryers.
Well,
right,
hey, look,
you
got to take care of the cook.
That sounds like
a flat top.
That sounds like a man who's
he got that pit boss flat top one year for, Father's Day? Something where I wanted to eat.
That sounds like a man with a lot of grandkids.
Yeah, you got to take care of the cook.
He's the cook.
Yeah.
He is the cook.
So what's
whatever you cook, you got to have chicken nuggets to go with it.
Yeah.
That's a staple.
Yeah.
Grandkids.
With that many grandkids?
Kids. Kills me.
So I know my experience, but I'm interested to know yours, Dave. What how's it working with your son?
Whoa, hey. I thought we were gonna go down the what's it like to outdoor industry charging forward.
Heck no, now
tackle
that
shops.
Now that the prodigal son has returned home.
That's right.
I have returned.
Now that you're living out that section of the Bible, how is it? I'm just curious.
It's not working with the son. It's working with the son's mother that kind of buffers the son all the time. You know?
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, boy. Is he a mama's boy?
Is he a mama's boy? Are you a mama's boy?
I don't know.
I already knew that answer. I just wanted the admission.
I know that.
I'm a mama's boy, too, so don't hear me. Same. Guilty.
You ain't gonna get nothing out of me. I'm one.
This is the mama's boy podcast.
I went see my mama right before I came this morning.
Yeah, he did. He actually did. He went.
Well, no, because hey, that's my favorite person in the world.
Yeah,
I was my favorite person in the world.
Absolutely, and as you were the youngest son.
Yep.
Youngest.
Yeah.
Youngest.
You are right in the middle.
It just kind of fit.
Youngest son has a rough life. Okay.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did.
Well, you may have, but I can speak for me and this guy.
I'm not going to say that. My dad is present.
I had six siblings. Okay.
Yeah, we did not. We both had just an older sibling. Yeah.
Six of them.
Because all I ever heard, Al asked me one time, okay, I want you to do a lesson for church, you know.
Perseverance.
No, so I was working the lesson up and came to find out by doing the lesson that I had an identity crisis. Because all my life, all I ever heard when I went to school was, well, Harold Jean wouldn't have done it that way. Jimmy Frank wouldn't have done it that way. Judy wouldn't have done it that way. And I'm going, hey, look over here. I ain't Harold Jean. I ain't Jimmy Frank. I ain't Judy. It's a sigh. Yeah. All I ever heard was somebody else's name.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
And then A&E came along. I
tell you what, buddy.
They all found out.
I tell you what, buddy. You got the last laugh. I tell you that right now, pal.
No.
That may have happened your whole life, but you're the one at 75 still laughing.
Well, no. So, and laughing all the way to the back.
I guarantee it. I wasn't going to throw that out there, but he already did.
He eats 4-inch filet mignons.
For the rest of the week, he eats tamales.
They all asked, what is the biggest change in y'all's life since y'all went from just old country, poor country boys to Duck Dynasty stars? You know? And I said, the menu.
And
I said,
better.
What are you talking about? I said, hey, it went from bologna to prime rib.
Yeah, the grub got better.
I will say that happened, we ain't on size level over here at the local tackle shop, but
y'all do all right.
We eating better than we were in 2000.
But, hey.
We don't have beef stroganoff anymore.
Yeah, but
we got Big Dave out there just slinging.
Hey, low key though, beef stroganoff still fire.
Ugh,
man.
Gross.
What?
You know what? Like
homemade beef stroganoff? Man, it's just gravy.
That was my mom's,
man. It's pasta and gravy.
Hey, when it comes right down to it, my sister used to say this, my older sister. Yeah, she's with the Lord right now. Yeah, and she would say, I can't wait to get away from home. I'm never going to eat another pinto bean and cornbread in my entire life.
Man.
Hey, look.
I love pinto beans and cornbread.
When she would come home from college, you know, mama would say, what you want? Pinto beans and cornbread.
There it is.
Feels like home, buddy.
You know, hey, you know, if what, you know, what you grew up with, you know.
I remember used to being a kid, like saying for New Year's Day, we always ate black eyed peas and cabbage.
Oh, yeah.
All the traditional stuff. I remember saying, man, when I grew up, we ain't doing that in my house. Yeah. You walk in my house January the 1st, it smells like black eyed peas and cabbage around there.
Hey.
And it feels good.
Oh, like, it ain't.
I can do
better.
The cabbage.
It ain't
like
nothing
black
better.
Black eyed
peas? I'm a hard pass.
No. That's one of the finest meals there is cabbage cooked right.
Yeah.
Yeah, cabbage good.
That next day in the duck blind, rude. A lot of things that send you into some intestinal distress with black-eyed peas and cabbage. Day. You got dueling banjos in your belly then, buddy. It's a bad deal. Hey,
look, you can prank anybody then, boys, when you eat cabbage.
You nasty.
Well, I'm going with the prank, okay?
Them waiters.
If you eat cabbage, then go to work at the honey hole next day, you just spend a lot of time on the power bait aisle.
Yeah, you sit and stand over there selling steak bait.
What's that?
Head over to the catfish aisle.
Boy, that magic, this magic bait is fresh. Yeah. Golly.
Hey, all three
it's one of
them
SPDs, boys. Silent but deadly.
That is the truth, though.
I do love it. Hey, Big Dave took it easy on you. He didn't let out no secrets. Other than just outing you as a mama's boy.
Well,
that was kind of funny.
Everybody already kind of knew that.
Well, maybe our listeners didn't. Everybody knows you knew that. I mean, we call Big Dave and Big Jan, but Big Jan is like 5'2".
5'5". She's worked as well.
5'5".
But hey, she can hold her own.
Is she?
She's scary.
Yeah, she can hold her own.
Oh, every time.
Working for my dad is kind of a breeze. Working for my mom.
Whew. She got a little Johnny in her.
Oh boy! Now we're getting into Corey's family.
Oh, wow! What a life, man! We can tell them stories too. We still got ten more minutes. So we'll take a break and come back right after this. Now you're heavily involved with Celebrate Recovery and helping folks beat the same thing that.
Yeah, I lead the anger group, and the anger group, I've told a lot of people this over the years, the anger group is kind of like the next step. It's like a graduate assistant group, because when they get off drugs and alcohol, they realize the reason they were on drugs and alcohol is because they were so pissed off.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's now they're having to deal with anger without anything numbing it, so that's what we worked through, and it come to find out it was the best thing ever happened to me, because I found people that were wired the same way I am, which is a little too tight.
Yeah.
And so they helped me work through a lot of the anger that I had and a lot of the ways I handled things in anger. So, you know, the people that got off drugs helped me deal with my anger, and I helped them. We kind of all just pointed each other to Jesus on, hey, he's the one who can take care of the anger.
And Celebrate Recovery is big in the Owen family anyway, because Mac.
Yeah. He's like the, what is he?
The universal global director.
He's the CEO of all it.
Yeah. Grand Poopah.
Grand Poopah.
That's right.
And that's your brother.
Pope of CR.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
No. I could have used this deer. That's what I had a lot of anger issues when I was in the military.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
I can't picture you as angry. Yeah, that's what I've seen you angry.
I was
time.
Raised by Army
Sergeant. No, because I was like you.
Okay.
I would look up and say, what was I supposed to learn from just what happened?
Yeah. I've been saying that about every day about teal season this year.
No.
Why?
You were looking up, didn't see nothing?
Yeah. I'm like, why? What has changed? I used to think I knew what I was doing. What are you teaching me here?
Yeah. Like, yeah. What am I supposed to learn from this, Lord?
Yeah.
Time in the pit. I got one email.
Yeah.
Y'all ready for it?
Read it, Tim.
And I don't know what the odds of this are.
Uh-oh.
And I promise you, I'm not lying. This is not a setup. 17 minutes ago, Josh emails in graduated this past May with a bachelor's degree in business management, and my goal slash dream is to one day own and run my own fishing store. I really want my business to be Christ-centered and a tool to help further the kingdom. Any and all advice is greatly appreciated. Well, sir, I have just the man that may give you advice on how to own and run a fishing store. Take it away, Big Dave. Any advice?
Yeah, get up early, stay late, and make sure you got what they want. If you ain't got what they want, get it.
Hey.
If you can't get it, they don't need it.
In other words, dude, you're fixed to put in some long, hard hours.
Yeah,
it ain't to no be successful. Crap. Okay? Because, hey, look, you ain't got nobody else to turn to. You know, the buck's going to stop, and it's going to stop on you.
Wise man told me once, you get into it, just what you get out of it, just what you
what
put
you
into
gonna
it.
What you're going to put into it. That's right.
And I will say, as a shopper of Honey Hole still, even before all of this, every time I went in there, once y'all purchased the business, that man was there. Didn't matter what time of day. Didn't matter if I went first thing in the morning, headed to the river going fishing, or if I was killing time at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a random Thursday. He was there.
A prophet is not what known or respected in his own community.
Yeah. I'm trying to turn him into a prophet now, so I get out of there a little. Try to get out of there a little
and
bit.
Now you'll see
go
one of
enjoy what yeah. you've got.
Well, yeah. which is yeah. good, but yeah. I mean, I saw him. But what I'm saying, even when I would go in there, and this is for everybody, Big Dave owns a business, and I've seen him toting out the trash. I've seen him fixing a rod and reel. I've seen him dipping shiners.
Well, you got to know
the job. He's done every job.
You
got
to know
place.
The job. To because be able to train somebody.
That's exactly right. And to know when your employees are full of crap when they tell you they can't do something.
Yeah.
And you're like, no,
no. It can be done.
I did it.
Yeah, like, it can be done because you know, I've sit there and done it.
Yeah, that's well, not – your issue
it,
is management.
I did it better and faster than you did.
Yeah, there you go.
Learn.
And back in the day – well, back in the day, though, like, you were – we're open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and there were many days where you showed up at 6 a.m. and you didn't leave till 6 p.m., right?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what it takes to build a business sometimes. And, you know, the first, after I bought the Honey Hole, cash flow wasn't real great around the Owen residence. I bought a Ford single cab truck off eBay and drove it so you could have my other truck.
That truck was sweet. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I had 1999 Z.
Yeah. Once I figured out what he drove, I'd always drive by there, see if he's there. Well, I could stop in, talk to him.
Oh, he was
just
there.
In case, I wanted to make sure he wasn't going to lunch or nothing.
And he put all that time in, and now he's got two identical Tundras.
Yeah, leaves one hooked to the boat and one going to work.
One's got a lot more bumps in it. It's a little older.
Yeah.
Well, a man that runs
hey, somebody wants to buy that.
Look, a man that runs a bait shop has got to go fish every once in a while where he can talk to his clientele.
Every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
Hey.
Wednesday morning.
You got to be able to know, hey, you want to talk to a guy that knows what he's doing.
On Wednesdays, you'll either find him on a lawnmower or with a fishing pole in his hand. That's the two places you'll see
or
him.
Or here.
Or here.
We got him today.
We got him today. He runs smooth out of things to do today, so he ended up here.
Oh, I got plenty. I never run out of things to do.
He can't.
Oh, well, Big Dave, thanks so much for joining us. We always close with a Bible verse.
I got you one ready.
Oh, there
at
you
five,
go.
You know how I always say sometimes, I don't have one, but my dad sent me this one.
Amen.
At 5:43 this morning, when the times are good, be happy. When times are bad, consider this. God has made one as well as the other. Therefore, no one can discover anything about the future. Ecclesiastes 7:14. God's in control. Too much to worry about the future and what may happen is just a waste of energy. That's what my dad sent me this morning.
Enjoy and appreciate both.
Ain't that the truth?
That's right.
Well, that's what I'm learning about teal season.
Because that's what life is. That's what life is about, folks.
And the fall crappie bite.
Okay.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see y'all next time in the duck call room. We're out.
Thanks for joining, Big Dave.
Yeah.
Yep.